Picture a world where costs are down, profits are up, and customers are clamoring at your door. You're listening to Let's Get Up to Business from Jordan Law. Our interviews with business owners, service providers, and area experts can teach you how to create a world of success and profitability. If you're looking for an attorney to assist in your business formation, employment agreements, or other legal business needs, contact Jordan Law at 407-906-5529. You can also reach us on the web at jordanlawfl.com. Jordan Law, we protect you and your business.
Hi, everybody. I'm Jordan Ostroff, your business law and personal injury attorney here in Central Florida. And this is Let's Get Up to Business, our podcast turn Facebook live show. Joining us today, Rochelle Kalina, who's going to talk to us about goal setting, both financial and non-financial, especially when starting a new business. So I think this is an episode that will really appeal to a lot of our listeners and watchers. As you know, though, before we get into that, I want to do the pitch for subscribing to our YouTube page. We are over 90 subscribers. So with 8 more subscribers, I can shut up about asking for YouTube subscribers. So if you have 5 minutes and it will take 30 seconds, jump on over to our YouTube page. Mark will drop the comments in here and click on that subscribe button so we can hit 100 subscribers and get a branded URL. But with that, enough about me. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So tell us a little bit more about yourself, and then we'll get into this goal setting and how important that is.
Yeah, so my name is Rochelle Kalina, and I am owner of Kalina Consulting, which is a firm that basically it's a coaching business for businesses that are struggling with profitability. I'm also a CPA. I've been a CPA for 10 years, and I also have another firm called Honest Buck Accounting that's a full-service accounting firm that specializes in early childhood education.
So if we have anybody listening or watching who knows that they need some business coaching, especially from that financial background and knowledge, what's the best way for them to get in touch from here?
RochelleKalina.com.
Okay, and so we'll make sure to get the comments there, and then we have your name spelled in the bottom third. So that should help as well. So before we get into the goal setting, you know, tell me a little bit more about your background. Like, how did you get into doing the business consulting?
So I started my career in public accounting, Big Four. You know, did that for 4 or 5 years, and then moved into a couple of larger companies like Expedia. And I just never really felt like I didn't feel like what I was doing was meaningful. So I moved into my own firm, helping small business clients. And what I really found is that, you know, they do struggle with the financials so much. And a lot of it's just not understanding what they need to be looking at, how much money they need to be setting back, all of those kinds of things. I mean, there's a reason that 80% of all businesses go out of business because of cash flow issues. And so we wanted to have a offering that really focused on trying to make businesses as successful as possible financially.
So before you mentioned businesses struggling with profitability. So from your perspective, define profitability for me. Like, what are we talking about there?
So when we're talking about profitability, we're not just talking about like money left over at the end of the month. One of my big things is that businesses first need to be paying the owner a reasonable wage. Like, the owner needs to be making a reasonable wage. But then when you think about it, like the owner is taking a risk by, you know, starting this business, and they need to be also compensated for the risk that comes in starting this business as well. So what we're always looking for when we say profit isn't just money at the end of the month. You know, we're always looking for, one, is the owner being paid a reasonable wage? And then two, is there after that net income in line with what we would expect for other businesses in their field?
Okay, and so let me circle back there. So, you know, because I get into this discussion quite a bit, and I like the way that you're phrasing it. So when we're talking about profitability, really we're talking about sort of, trying to phrase this the right way. So we're not talking about the money left over because a lot of people are underpaying themselves. Is that kind of what you're getting at there?
Exactly. A lot of times people start these businesses and they'll look at, you know, what's left over at the end of the month, and they'll be like, oh, profit. But if you're not taking a paycheck before that, that's not really all profit. You know what I mean? Like, that some of it is what you should be paid for your effort, not kind of your bonus, if you will, for taking the risk of opening this business, right?
Yeah. And so, I know a lot of business owners, especially at the beginning, are reinvesting as much of that extra income as possible back into the business. So if that's the case, like, is that still profitability, even if it's not profit, because it could have been there to be taken?
And that's where, you know, I'm not 100% sure I agree. I mean, we expect, you know, when I'm bringing on a new client and they just started business, you know, I'm always like right out the gate, like, hey, the first 2 years, you're probably not going to make any money. But once we get past that, you know, that time span where things have ramped up, they've got their processes in place, you know, all of those things are going, and they're still not making, you know, they're still not drawing like a reasonable wage, or they're still just basically dependent on the $2,000 to $3,000 that might be left in the bank account at the end of the month after they've paid all their bills. Like, that's where we're like, hey, that's not okay. Like, so I think that, you know, in the startup phase, you have to, I wouldn't really say that they are making what they should be, but it's kind of a known that that's a time period when it's not always going to be, you know, lucrative. But you put in the work and hopefully you get all your processes in place, you get your people in place, you get your customers in place, and then it should be good after that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I'm with you here. I like the way that you're framing it, because I agree with you. Like, it shouldn't be as simple as just looking at that leftover money, sort of in both directions. One being you underpaying yourself, two being you investing in growth more than you would long term.
Right. Exactly. I mean, and even businesses who are pretty, you know, who are pretty settled and they've, you know, they've got their client base, they're making good money, you know, there's still places to reinvest and to grow bigger and bigger. And that's like, I mean, that's, again, that's why you started a business, is so that you can, you know, invest that money and make it grow for you. Right.
But yeah, no,
in the stock market.
Right, that's always the interesting thing, like tracking return on your business as opposed to return on any other investment. And obviously it's muddled when you're owner operator. Exactly. Because you're influencing in both directions.
Exactly. And so that's one thing that we're really big on when we're looking at our financials, is breaking out that, well, what should you have gotten paid? And are you getting paid what you should? Because again, it's really easy to be like, well, you know, like I just take what's in the bank account at the end, or, you know, things were a little tight, so I didn't pay myself quite as much this month. And, you know, that's really where, you know, it may not seem like it's a problem, but it's a big problem. And that's really where we come in and look at things and see like, okay, like what needs to change in order for you to be consistently getting the paycheck you should be getting for the work that you're putting in.
So, all right. So now let's circle back to goal setting with that. Cause that's a very important point that I think a lot of people lose, is it's not just the money that's there. It's really the money that's supposed to be there based upon everything else. So from that goal setting standpoint, I mean, there's a thing on the wall at my gym when I used to go before COVID that talked about what gets measured gets improved. And so I always love that from the standpoint of like really knowing the numbers in so many different things. walk me through your process of starting that goal setting with a business owner.
Yeah, I mean, I think it starts as easy, or not as easy, but I mean, I think every business needs to have that business plan in place. You know, like, what is your marketing going to look like? What is your pay going to look like? What is, you know, how are you going to do all of these things? And I know that that seems like, you know, duh, of course you would have a business plan. But the truth is, most businesses start without a business plan. And they kind of just we'll go out there with a sort of marketing plan, try to get some clients, and, you know, before you know it, they've got a decent amount of clients, but did they bring them in at a price that's going to allow them to pay somebody else once they have enough work to have to bring somebody in? So there has to be a plan in place from the beginning that thinks about, well, how big do you want to get? I mean, I think that's a really important question when you start a business. It's like, because again, a lot of people, I start a business, I just kind of will see how many clients I get and go from there. Well, if your plan is to get to only 500,000, like, then we know what, how many, you know, employees should you plan to have to pay? Should you have to get benefits? Should you, you know, how many clients can you manage at that level, all of those kinds of things? Or even, and I'm talking in services because I do tend to work more with services than I do retail, but there's also these kinds of questions that would come up in retail. But if you're planning to get to 5 million, that's a completely different scenario. If you're getting to 5 million, then you have to take into consideration, like, oh, you're going to have a salesperson. You're going to have a manager outside of yourself. You're going to probably have to have a marketing director. What do you need to charge in order to get to that level? You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense. So is there, because here's what I, well, one, a lot of what you described is totally me when I first started my firm. So I walk that walk.
Most people.
but the thing that I always struggle with is where is this an art and where is this a science? So if you're talking about, you know, somewhere in that $500 to $5 million range, we have to add these positions. Like, is that, how scientific is that? Or how much is that just based on kind of guess, seeing other people do well in that, at that number?
So what I would say is that generally, I mean, it's a little bit art, but a little bit science. So I think you have a good point there. And so I would say for the most part, you should, you know, your employee pay should never be more than, and again, we're talking in services here, than 50%. Of your total income. It, you know, it shouldn't ever exceed that. So if you think about it that way, you have this $100,000 employee, $50,000 employee, whatever that looks like, the amount of revenue they should be bringing in shouldn't just be double though. It should be triple or quadruple that, because again, once you, let's say, okay, so let's take this back a second. So let's say we have a $50,000 employee, and we want them to make $150,000 for the business. That's great. But now we have three of them. That's probably manageable for you yourself to manage them. But now we have six of them. Is that reasonable for you to manage them? Probably not. You're probably going to need to bring in another manager. Or you get to that level, is it really, you know, reasonable that you can do all the sales too? Or is it, you know, at that point also, do we need to be looking at HR? So it's kind of these, it is a little bit of an art, but that's where we, again, have to kind of know where we plan to go to, in order to be thinking through, like, okay, well, I, you know, if I am at $1 million, I'm going to need, say, five employees. Can I manage five employees? And, you know, what does the rent look like? Well, you know, all the things, like, what does that really mean? There is a kind of a little bit of a folk lore, if you will, in accounting that says that between about 1 million and 3.5 million is like the black hole. It's, that's about the point when you need to start bringing in all of those extra people, those like salespeople, those managers, those marketing people. That's usually the point where they need to come in. And that's why a lot of businesses, you know, they say getting to $1 million in sales is the hardest part. And then once you get past that, it's so much easier to keep making money. But after a million to about 3.5, that's when profitability really starts to struggle, because that's about the point when you have to start bringing all these extra people in, because you've got more likely than not at least five people in the business, meaning that it's not just one person can't run all of that. You know what I mean?
Yes, in so many ways, I know what you mean. So it's interesting because, you know, you're talking about these sort of financial benchmarks to lead to the next steps. So I'm assuming that when you're sitting down to make these goals, it's really sort of the goals evolve as the business evolves, or kids' goals evolves as the business evolves?
I would say both. I mean, the way that I kind of structure my clients is very much continuous improvement. I mean, as you know, like getting to a goal is never linear. But if we are able to set these like kind of smaller goals to get to the goal, they're a lot more manageable than that. So, you know, just saying like, okay, we want to get to $1 million. Like, okay, that's a great goal, but you have to have these smaller goals in place in order to get there. And so we just kind of, you know, have these small bite-sized goals that we work towards. Again, as things change, again, you know, like COVID-19, I mean, obviously we all had to make huge adjustments in our goals,
right,
and how we got there, you know, based on what happened. So it's just, I think it's just about kind of identifying where you are now and looking at like, what can you do right now to get to the big stretch goal? And just modifying as you need to, and then as you reach goals, making sure that you're continuing to look at what the next thing is and never really getting, you know, settled with like, everything is good. I mean, you can, but I don't really think that that's gonna build a business.
Well, you can only coast downhill.
Exactly.
So the thing that I always wonder about is, you know, we're talking about needing to bring on new people or do new marketing ventures or, you know, some sort of change in the business. Do you find that when setting the timeline to do that, is it best to do it like, hey, once we hit, you know, a financial figure, or is it once we hit, you know, the 9-month mark or the 12-month mark? Like, how do you try and earmark those changes?
That's a really good question. I would say, I usually try to look at it by a time period, not necessarily by a financial goal. I mean, but I could, you know, there are times when obviously a financial goal is going to make the most sense, right? Like, I mean, okay, we're going to do this kind of marketing until we hit this. But I also think that, you know, for me personally, like I like the little like 3-month goals, like, okay, we're going to do this for 3 months and we're going to see like what changes can be made, like where can we get to, where does that move us on the scale? But I mean, definitely, I think that thinking about like, okay, well, if we were to get to this point, then we'll change our course is definitely valid. It's just not the way I typically look at things.
Makes total sense. And I don't know, you know, I see the argument on both sides on things like that, because obviously it's more like you end up in that sort of chicken and egg, you know, like if we're looking to bring this on to hit this number, but we needed to bring that on to hit that number, then we're never going to hit that number to bring that on to hit the number. So.
And I think I'm just a little bit like, especially when it comes to like marketing, I would be a little bit afraid to be like, okay, this is what we're going to do until we hit that number, because what if it's not working? And that's right. Where I'm, like, I'm always a little bit more like, let's kind of just look at the time period and go, okay, like, do we even see any markers? I mean, obviously marketing is a tricky thing because it's not an overnight thing. It usually takes months and months and months for an actual effect to come in. But I think that you can kind of start to get a feel for whether it's effective or not within 2 to 3 months.
And so, you know, when we're making those, so I guess you've got those 3-month goals, and then what longer term goals do you suggest a business has, timing wise, not necessarily, you know, specific goal wise?
I try not to go any longer than a year. A year is usually like about, you know, I know that, you know, when you're interviewing for a job, they always want to know your 5-year goal. And I think it's good to know in the back of your mind, again, where you want your business to end up. But I think as far as like setting out these goals, like I feel like a year is really as about as manageable as it is. Once you kind of get past that, it's, you know, it's so far out that, you know, it just, I think we all have enough to focus on that thinking about anything past the next year is you know, it's overwhelming, but it's also, as much as we have to constantly be tweaking our goals and changing our goals and resetting, it just makes sense to only look at the next year.
I'm with you. So you've got these, so basically you've got these year-long goals broken up into quarters almost.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So now, like, let's talk about that actual, you know, goal setting process or the methodology you want somebody to go through. Like, walk me through, you know, you've got this business owner, they sat down, they're looking at, hey, in the next year, how many goals should they have? How do we decide what should be the goals? Walk me through that.
Yeah. So, I mean, really, I try to look at goals in the different facets of a business. So we have our financial goals, we have our marketing goals, we have our operations goals, and we have our people goals, right? And those are kind of the four areas that we try to look at. And, you know, really when it comes to setting goals, like obviously, you know, we want to make sure that everything that's related to our people goals is about retaining people and, you know, keeping them as happy and as onboarded as we possibly can. When it comes to financial goals, it's all about, you know, increasing income, decreasing costs. Like, so it's pretty straightforward, you know, in what we would want, but we obviously have to look at what the business is doing and what makes sense. But I also think that for me anyway, I tend to challenge goals. When people kind of just set them like, hey, we want to grow by 25% this year. And, you know, the question would be, okay, why 25%? Why that number? Like, what does that mean to you? Is that like a threshold that you would be crossing that suddenly you would be at, you know, able to hire another person or at a 15% profit margin? Or, you know, what does that mean? And if it's very arbitrary, the truth is you're not really going to work towards it if it doesn't mean anything to you. And so I really like to push people to go like, okay, like let's set some really meaningful goals that you actually feel somewhat passionately about. And that way they're just something you're actually going to work towards instead of just going, yeah, well, we want to increase revenue by 25%. So we'll up our Google ad spend by the same amount and see what happens, you know?
So when you say meaningful, like, is that, are we talking about it from the standpoint of people will set their goals too high or too low that they don't care about them as much? Or we're talking about tying them to that actual benefit that they get so they have more of an investment in them?
Tying them to the benefit.
Okay. So really it's like, hey, I want to grow the business 25% so I can hire this person, so I can spend more time with my kids, so I can.
Exactly. So if they're saying, hey, I want to, you know, I want to increase the business by 25% this year, but at the same time, I've heard them, you know, saying like, oh, I'm completely overwhelmed, I have too much going on. But like, is that really a good goal for you? You know what I mean? And just really trying to make sure that like they're making these goals that help them, you know, live the life they want to live versus just doing what they think they have to do in order to run a business. You know what I mean? Because the truth is, like, I think there's this belief that we should all keep growing and growing or growing our business. But I mean, me, myself, like, I know where I want to cap. I want to cap it, you know, 500,000. That's as far as I want to go. It's, you know, and I think that that's totally fine. Because for me, my personal, you know, I want to have as much of a personal life as possible, be able to spend time with my family, and trying to grow a multi-million-dollar business just doesn't, you know, help with that. So I think it's okay to set goals that may seem a little less impressive, but it's if that's what's going to help you live your best life. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing that I always get caught up on is, you know, it's interesting. We focus on growth as being growing the top line, wanting more, as opposed to focusing on growth on either focusing on the bottom line or focusing on the lifestyle that we're afforded by the business.
Exactly.
So now that we have, and I love the idea, and I don't know that anybody's ever put it so succinctly. I love the idea of tying goals to basically what you actually care about, like make the goal something that really matters to you so that you're invested in it. How does somebody decide what those goals should be? I know we've got the four areas of business. Do we have to do one in each four area?
No, I mean, we don't have to. I mean, obviously, like if you, you know, are not wanting to hire, or you don't have employees, or, you know, for whatever reason, you're not as interested in retaining your current staff, like that's not something that we need to focus on. Or, you know, if you feel like your operations for whatever reason are exactly as they should be, that's not something we have to focus on. That's just typically the way that we like break it down by like, hey, here's kind of the four quadrants of a business. And, you know, these are the areas that most, you know, that we would typically look for improvements in. But if there's no, if you feel like there's nothing you want to do there, or you feel like it's in the perfect shape for you right now, then don't. Focus on something else.
So that's interesting. So basically, from those four quadrants, you might be doing well enough. You might be fine or doing well enough or happy with the performance of that area. So then focus on the other ones more.
Exactly. Exactly. Or maybe you're just starting your business and you don't have employees yet, but you don't also don't have that much revenue and you don't really have your operations set. Well, that's definitely where you need to focus right now, is on, you know, getting sales and getting your operations, your systems in place so that everything kind of runs smoothly, so that hopefully when you do make that first hire, it's not this huge mess where you're like, well, we don't have a handbook and nothing's in place and I don't know what we're doing about benefits. So just good luck.
So that brings up a good point. I mean, I think that three of those four categories are very self-explanatory. You know, you have a revenue goal for the people standpoint, you know, you want to keep who you have or add more people. From the marketing standpoint, we're talking about how you're bringing new business. But what are some of the goals you've seen businesses set, and then operations, one that have been really helpful?
Oh, that's a really good question. Operations really tends to be more, at least the way that I've worked with them, is really more about having the systems in place. So do you, you know, if you hire a new person, you know, what does their first day look like? Do they have a dashboard that shows them everything they should be working on? Is there a manual that tells them exactly how to do what they need to do for their job? You know, are these systems in place? And that's really what we look at the operations side of it, is like, you know, is everything set up for the business to essentially, and it's not going to, but as close as possible, run itself. You know what I mean? So having the project management system, again, if you're in services, you know, do you have a timekeeping system that works really well? Do you have, you know, all of these things that just sort of make the business run and make the job easier? And you'd be surprised how many places are really lacking that. I mean, you know, just even, and it kind of flows a little bit into the financial side, but, you know, we're working with a company right now that, you know, I came in and I was like, holy crap, you're losing a ton of money and you're paying so much. What's going on? And they're like, oh, we haven't invoiced in a month. And it's like, there's no, their system completely broke down for getting invoices out. And so that was an operations thing that we have to come in and we have to like get a system going for getting out weekly invoices, because as, you know, as most people know, like the faster you invoice, the faster people pay. If you wait a month to invoice people, you're going to probably be waiting 2 months to get that payment. Whereas if it's top of mind, you're going to get paid. So it's just things like that that just make the business go. You know what I mean?
And I would definitely think that making sure you have a consistent and effective invoicing process is probably the most important thing you could do, because if money never comes back in, your business is sunk no matter what else is going well.
Exactly. But, you know, and I completely understand his, like, you know, his thought process, which is just, you know, I'm concerned, I want to get the, you know, I need to get the people out there, I need to get the services rendered, like my focus is on getting the work done. And he's just like, I just am overwhelmed and don't have time for this. And it's like, okay, well, you don't have to make time for this, but you need to have something in place that's going to get this done.
There is no business, there's no problem a business has that can't be solved with more money. Hire somebody, you can outsource it, you can say no to more clients, you can, whatever the issue is, money lets you solve it or make it, or lets you at least not worry about it, depending upon what the issue is.
Exactly.
So I'm with you. I guess I can't, and it's not just that one client. I mean, we talk to business owners all the time who are doing, you know, 5 and 6 figure contracts off a handshake agreement with no understanding of when or how people are going to be paid or in what installments or whatnot. And the next thing you know, we're embroiled in a gigantic lawsuit that costs everybody way more than they would have made or paid if the contract been signed.
And that's really easy to say, oh, well, you're just, your money function is down. But the truth is that is operations, you know, not having the, you know, the proposal and the contract, you know, software in place and where you can collect a down payment and have their ACH information on file and have like that schedule of like, here's when the payments are going to be made. And, you know, that's pure operations.
So I want to change gears slightly because this was going to trigger my next question. When you're working with these business owners, when you're doing this business consulting, how frequently are you being brought in on day one or even day zero? Like how often is it we're going to start?
Very, very few. It's usually a couple years in when they've usually hit about $250,000 in revenue and they're starting to feel pretty overwhelmed and the financials aren't panning out the way they thought it would. That's typically about the time that they end up dragging us into it.
Which makes total sense. So then from your experience, when you're coming in at that, you know, $250,000 mark or so, are you finding that the problems are more, they haven't set these goals, they don't know what they're doing, or the problems more, they set the wrong goals or they're doing the wrong thing, or, you know, where does it fall, or is it even across those things?
I would say that they've typically set some goals, but what I would say is I think what I've seen in the past is that when they first started the business, they didn't have the goals in place. Then once things started taking off, then they put these goals in place then, but they don't encompass everything that comes with the business. So they may just look at a revenue goal and that's about it. But that doesn't, you know, okay, well, how much do you spend on marketing? I mean, you know, how many people do you need to hire? Like that kind of stuff tends to be just sort of dealt with as the revenue goal is hit, you know, as they are like, oh, I need another person, or I can't manage this anymore. I need to bring somebody else in. But it's usually, I would say, started the business with lack of goals and then once they got to a certain point, didn't have well-rounded goals.
So it sounds like for the most part, you know, you're coming in to play devil's advocate and to add that little bit of understanding to them and teach them to get that reorganized or reoriented in the right way or whatever you want to call it from that standpoint.
Exactly. You know, with this person, like that I was just talking about with like not having things invoiced, you know, another thing that we talked about was, and, you know, this is where you said it exactly, I have to play devil's advocate, is like, do you even have the right customers here? I mean, you have a really high margin business and it seems like you're not making money. And yes, some of it's the invoicing issue, but not all of it. So like, what's going on? Are you bringing on clients that maybe are too small? And things like that, which is always a little bit of a tough conversation to have, but I think it's important to have those conversations.
And, you know, it's interesting because that, I guess that's almost more of an external problem. I guess it's internal to accept those clients, but it's interesting that at the end of the day, the better clients would solve some of those issues. I would imagine though, for the most part though, the problems you find are going to be mostly internal, where they don't have something in place or they're doing something totally wrong and that's causing the, you know, leak in the bucket, if you will.
Yeah. And typically what I'd say, most of the issues that I see are generally around employees. Which is a really, I mean, it's not great, but I mean, if you think about it, employees really are the most expensive cost that a business has, but they're also the most sentimental to the business owner for the most part. And so it becomes this really hard thing where they, you know, may realize they have too many people and they need to let somebody go, or they put this person that they really liked in the wrong role and now like things aren't going well and they need to figure that out. That's usually where a lot of the problems tend to stem. So.
Yeah, I mean, I assume it's a lot easier to, you know, shut off the pay-per-click campaign than it is to get rid of the person who's running the campaign or, you know, something along
those
lines.
Totally, totally.
So when you're seeing that as the biggest problem, I mean, is that the employees are underperforming? Is that they don't have the right clients? Anything?
It can be all of it. Yep. It can be, and a lot of times it's not just one problem. I mean, because obviously going in, if it was just one problem, it would be like an easy fix for them, you know, but usually it's tends to be something that happened and it kind of cascades down and infects other pieces of the business. So
what, and look, there's a million ways to run a business correctly. There's a million ways to run a business incorrectly. There's a billion different problems to have. There's a billion different solutions. But what do you find being the most common solutions, or at least the most common paths that you set business owners down with as consulting? It's bringing in new people. It's training people better. It's changing what you're doing.
Usually the first thing that we have to work on is where can we cut overhead? Because obviously, you know, as a lawyer, you know, like billable hours are king, but it's really easy to like, hey, I need somebody to do this and it's not a billable time. And, I need somebody to do this. It's not a billable time. Or to be what I've seen a lot is like having four different people that are doing both billable and non-billable work. And it just creates way too much overhead. So the first thing is just identifying how much are we spending on overhead and how much can be outsourced cheaper, how much could be consolidated to literally just one person running it instead of four different people trying to do these like little bitty things on top of a normal job. That's really where I see the biggest problems is in the overhead spending, or their pricing not being correct, like the amount that they're billing, because they might have, you know, thought, okay, well, I'm paying this person $20, so I can charge $40. Well, again, you know, when you consider the overhead, you consider the rent, you consider all of those things, it doesn't cover enough when you bill like that. So those typically are the big glaring things that I see and the first things that have to be adjusted.
That makes sense. So it sounds like though a lot of those really are kind of problems in the margins. Like it's not really the core function of their job. It's those little ancillary things that you have different people doing. That's okay. You're nodding your head yes. So
yep.
I'm listening well. I'm holding my end of this bargain. So what are some of the tasks that you see being those things that cause those problems on the margins? I mean, that's, what are those non-billable things that they're pulling people away from too long to do?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, it can be an assortment of things from like, you know, answering the phone, answering like the general company email. It can be like, you know, asking them to pay bills. It can be asking them to, you know, just run various errands. It can be asking them to like manage a certain software, like the project management software. It can be like all of these different things that really do need to be done. But it, you know, if you're paying somebody, you know, essentially like a billable person's wage, that's not really the best use of their time.
So it's letting the task trickle down to the lowest skilled person. Is that a fair way to say it?
Yes, I think that's a good way of putting it. I usually just call it like, hey, your administrative person. And it doesn't have to be a full-time administrative person. I mean, us, like, we use, we, you know, for our project management system, we use somebody from Upwork who's in the Philippines. And, you know, she uploads everything. We just have to send her templates or whatever. And, you know, she does a great job. It's, you know, it's just a little thing that we don't need to manage anybody on, and it just, it gets done. And, you know, so that's our preference, is to have somebody like that, because we're not really at the point, nor do we plan to ever be at the point, where we need a full-time administrative person. You know what I mean?
No, it makes perfect sense. All right. So I know, I mean, listen, I could have this conversation with you for three more hours. This is exactly the kind of stuff that I love, but I want to make sure that I give you the softball. Like, I know we've talked around a lot of the stuff. Like, what other information have we not covered, or what do you want to make sure that you share with our business owner, listeners, and watchers?
I mean, I would say just, you know, think about hiring professionals as an investment, not as a cost. That's one thing that I'm really big on. You know, as a lawyer, like, the amount of money that you can save somebody if you had been there in the first place, giving them advice versus having to come around on the backside and fix it for them, is significant. Same thing for us, like, the, you know, us being able to come in, figure out tax planning, making sure the books are in the, you know, in order to begin with, and being able to help you make those right business decisions. Ideally, we should be saving you as much money, if not more, than you're paying us. And that's really how I try to frame it to people. When they're always afraid to hire a professional because they think it's going to be too expensive, it's going to be way more expensive to hire somebody on the back end after there's problems and it has to be cleaned up.
I mean, we always talk about selling value, and it sounds like that's exactly what you're talking about. Like, it's not, you're not buying a $1,500 contract. You're buying a solution to an $80,000 problem.
Exactly.
Wonderful. All right. So, RochelleKalina.com, what other people who want to learn more from you and want to stay in touch, where else can they go? We've got the website. Anything else?
We are also on Facebook under Kalina Consulting. And yeah, I think that's really the two places that we're at. I'm also on LinkedIn under Rochelle Kalina.
Okay. So let me pitch the YouTube page one more time, and then we'll get to our wrap-up segment. So if you've been listening to us for this long, clearly you enjoy the videos, probably not because of me, probably because of the great guests that we get. So in to honor them, if you go on over to our YouTube page, and Mark has dropped a link. Yes, we are 8 subscribers away from hitting the 100 subscriber mark. So please go on over to YouTube. The link is attached to this in the comment section. And with that, so what's the parting wisdom? What's the parting advice? What's the, if somebody's listened for the last 45 minutes, remembers nothing except what you say here, what do you want to make sure as many business owners as possible are aware of?
Just make sure that you have well-rounded short-term goals in place in order to get your business where you want it, not where society tells you it should be.
And so is that, and that's so true. I think people get so caught up in what will other people think, when at the end of the day, you should be focused on what will make you happy or what will make you live the lifestyle that you want. Are we talking about, like, if people don't have any goals, so it's Monday the 27th, like, are we saying sit down this week and set some goals for 3 months out? And then,
oh, absolutely. Yes.
Okay. So do it, and then check in 3 months and see if you hit the goals and see what, how it impacted you, and do a little run.
Well, like your poster said, what you monitor is what changes. So I wouldn't even say check in 3 months. I would say just be consistently, like, I'm a really big fan of, like, every day writing down 3 things I need to get done and taking a look at what my goals are and seeing how are they impacting those goals.
I think I'm going to start doing that. I just got sent a day planner as a thank you for having interns. So I think I'm going to start putting it in there. Cause I, you know, in the service industries, we don't have a product, you know, we don't really create anything. And so it's really difficult at the end of a long work week to see the fruit of your labors, because a lot of it is, you know, you've helped somebody have a more successful business. I've helped somebody not go into litigation. We've helped somebody, you know, get money back so they can afford the lifestyle they had before they got into a car accident. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not building a roof. We're not building a house. We're not, you know, buying somebody a new car. So I love that goals as sort of that tangible thing you can see as the fruits of your labor.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Let's Get Up to Business from Jordan Law. We hope you've enjoyed the podcast and would consider sharing the show. We would also love an honest 5-star review through iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or whatever podcatcher you use. If you are interested in being a guest of the podcast, please contact producer Mark through email at mark@jordanlawfl.com. Use the subject line podcast guest in your email. Thank you. We look forward to speaking to you again soon.